Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William McHenry University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
And my own.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Happy homecoming week, everyone. Welcome to Crusader Talk. My name is Caleb Hamill, joined by Josh West. Dalton Stanford is behind the board, pushing the right buttons, making all things happen. Helping you listen to our voices tonight. It's good to be with you here on this Monday as we record and broadcast to you live on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com. Josh, big week in William Carey Athletics on the horizon. We've got some big soccer matchups, a little bit of volleyball as well, and man, some fun festivities. You know, we've already got some under our belts. We'll talk about that in just a little bit, but man, you talk about a gauntlet lately for women's volleyball. You just went through some of that with three matches. I completely glazed over the fact that we had Faulkner on the schedule. I talked about Xavier and talked about Mobile on Saturday, but completely whiffed right on past Faulkner. And luckily for us, the women did not walk right past Faulkner. They battled and won that one, and wasn't easy, but they did it.
Yeah, they did. I mean, it was Carey goes out and wins those first couple of sets in that match, and then Faulkner comes back, and Carey just everything imploded in that third set. And, you know, I had to go back and provide some context and say, okay, look, there's not been a set like this since September 13th. And then you got to go back to August 29th, the last time it was this bad in a set. So just to provide some context, okay, it's not so bad. And then you let the fourth set off the hook. And then you get late into the fifth set, and if it wasn't for Kat Vulich, just, you know, coach reminding her just to trust her gut. She said, Kat, look, your gut's always right. Go with your gut. I trust you.
I could hear that in her voice right
and
now.
She said, well, she told her that, and so Kat, out of the corner of her eye, had zero kills all match, 26 assists at that point, dumps two over the net in the last 3 points, and Carey wins 15-13. In the fifth set. They steal that match in five. And again, this is a Carey team that dropped three players in the matter of three matches, not even three matches, because they lose Bettini to the year with an apparent, you know, ACL injury. Then they lose Portee for weeks with an ankle injury. And then it was Laura Montero, the freshman out of Brazil, who goes down with an apparent ACL on her first hit, her first time going through the hitting line all year. And it was with 4.5 minutes to go in the match, so it was crazy. So it was very emotional, and so for Carey to do what they did was really special.
Yeah, and not only was that special this week, but also some really good soccer results. And we bring on one of our favorite recurring guests to the program. He joins us on the phone today, Clayton Rush, color analyst of William Carey Soccer. Clayton, some good results over the weekend, but a huge week in front of us when it comes to both men's and women's soccer.
Yeah, guys, we got two unbeaten Carey squads, men and women both, picking up wins over the weekend. And, man, what a game that men's game was against Mobile, finally getting that victory over Mobile that we've been waiting on for the last couple of years. But yeah, I got some even bigger games this weekend that I'm really excited about.
Was this a Mobile team that was better than you thought they would be at the beginning of the year, Clayton?
Yeah, for sure. Mobile had won three straight coming into Hattiesburg, Josh, and so Mobile were playing really, really well. Just kind of like Carey, took a little bit of extra time this year to kind of figure each other out. It's a way different Mobile squad from last year, just like Carey as well. So, yeah, that was a really quality Mobile team that they were able to get a win against on Saturday.
Now, some of the question marks for all of us going into that Saturday match, which, you know, we'll glaze right on over, you know, the women's match. We'll get back to it in just a second. But with the men, we knew going in that they were unlikely to have Coach Farrell on their sideline getting to coach them up. And even without Coach Farrell, they also didn't have Coach G able to help them out. So went on down the line to Sean and Neil to get to coach that one. And we were just curious, what was that going to look like? And really, there was no difference. You know, when you look down at the result of it all, they were prepared for that moment, it seemed.
Yeah, both Sean and Neil did a phenomenal job coaching, made all the right substitutions at the right times. A couple of injuries in that match as well. Dennis Hamzik and Milos Stajkovic had to exit the game with injuries, and so they made the right decisions at the right time with substitutions. And, both Sean and Neil have a bright future ahead of themselves in coaching. If there's any indication from, just your head coaching debut picking up a win against NAI powerhouse Mobile.
Now, speaking of powerhouses, I just looked at the RPI for soccer released today, and on the men's side, it does not get any closer than this, as William Carey comes in at number 19, and their next opponent on Thursday night is Life, and they are 18. And when it comes to Life, they are riding a very hot streak at the start of the conference schedule, as their only blemish, if you will, on the year, the only blemish is our two ties or draws to SCAD Savannah and Southeastern. Otherwise, they are undefeated, 10-0-2, 6-0 in conference play, and are coming off of a huge 8-1 victory on Sunday against Bruton Parker.
Yeah, this is going to be one of the biggest games of the year for obvious reasons. But, yeah, and then I think in the coaches' poll, you've got Carey sitting at number 9, and then Life is sitting at about maybe 16, I think. And so, this game is – the winner of this game is going to be in the driver's seat in the SSAC on the men's side. Whoever comes out of this one undefeated, because, Dalton State coming up on Saturday, they have dropped points. They've got two draws and a loss in the SSAC, so they've dropped points in multiple matches. So between Life and William Carey, this game really could kind of set up one of those teams to be in the driver's seat going forward.
Clayton, mentally, I think it's tough as fans to not still have Dalton circled on the schedule. As a player, obviously training for this match on Thursday, hearing the discussions and practices, watching film on this team and kind of following scores, when you've been so focused on Dalton for so long and then maybe even in the preseason circling the Saturday game, can it be a challenge to get up like you need to for a team that has really taken a step forward this year?
Yeah, no, the boys are going to have to really dig deep on Thursday. You're absolutely right, Josh. I mean, this is, from a scheduling perspective, you would say this is less than ideal, right, to have to play the number 16 team in the country and then turn right back around and play the defending national champions. But, I think the way the boys are playing right now and just how well this group has come together over the last few matches, Santiago Molina, Danny Malero up front, Lewis Green has been rock solid in his center back position, and Jamie Berry playing as well as he has. You have to think the boys are up for it, but it's going to be tough for sure.
Yeah, and for William Carey, obviously this has to be the biggest weekend of the year. Yeah, that's at least scheduled so far. Obviously, when we get to postseason, every game from there on out is going to be a big one. But let's kind of turn our attention to women's soccer. Just a quick recap of the matchup against Mobile. I thought they were a little slow out of the gate. I mean, I say that. They scored pretty quickly their first goal. But as far as the result of 3-0, I don't know that I anticipated it to be that kind of long, drawn-out performance, which is kind of weird to say in soccer, to say, man, you wish you would have scored more than three. But still, it felt like Carey left a lot on the table in that match.
Yeah, I mean, they were playing really well, Caleb. You saw a lot of really good 1-2 touch passing. The midfield play was phenomenal. Mobile really weren't on the ball all that often. The goals just weren't dropping. And so, I think when you look at that match, you could have said, maybe we could have scored a few more goals. But really, Carey defensively didn't let Mobile have a chance to get into that game and just did a phenomenal job from start to finish managing the game. And so, you look at the scoreline and you can think, maybe 3-0 isn't all that good. But I think when you watch that game, the girls played really, really well.
Yeah, and Karen Vallejo had a couple shots from just outside the 18 that were just screamers right into the crossbar, or just glancing
at
the top side. I mean, had a couple opportunities, just couldn't cash in, but I got the three goals, and that was more than enough to defeat Mobile there on Saturday. And, they are looking at a pretty similar matchup when it comes to Thursday with Life coming into town. They're a team that are battling with Carey for the top spot in the SSAC as well.
Yeah, really the same thing on Thursday. You've got an undefeated life team coming in. I believe they're number 14 in the coaches' poll. And so, yeah, I mean, whichever team comes out with a win on Thursday is going to be in the driver's seat on the ladies' side as well. Life are really, really good. They've gotten better each of the last couple of years since Coach Meg Goddard's come in from Columbia College. And so, yeah, they've got a senior forward, Sasha Millward, that's phenomenal as well, that Carrie's going to really have to watch out for. But, yeah, you've got to like your chances of winning the SSAC if you come away with a win on Thursday.
Hey, Clayton, we got 30 seconds left. A couple of numbers for you. You've got on this team now 8 players with at least 6 goals. Carrie has outscored their opponents 92-7. Absurd numbers. Do you ever get lost in just how good this team is?
I think it's been this way for at least the last 3 or 4 years, Josh, so it's starting to just become the normal, right? But no, I mean, it's the next man up mentality. It's all that stuff that we talk about year in, year out. You know, Danny just brings in some phenomenal players. And yeah, this group is no different. They've got some goal scorers all over the field, and it's been really fun to watch.
Clayton, appreciate the insight as always. We'll let you get back to your evening, but thanks so much. We look forward to seeing you Thursday.
Yep, thanks. See you Thursday, Caleb.
All right. He is Clayton Rush, our color analyst for soccer and also a pickleballer. Maybe he'll play in the women's basketball upcoming event with that pickleball tournament. He wanted me to drop that in there. He forgot to mention it. We got more coming up as we get ready for homecoming week here in Hattiesburg.
From the coaches to the student athletes and the fans that cheer them on, you're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
And welcome back to Crusader Talk, talking everything William Carey Athletics and beyond athletics a little bit. Now, I'm not just talking about swimming, because we do talk to Coach Gonzalez a good bit on this show. But I'm talking about things involving campus life and the community. I'm talking homecoming week. Which, by the way, you know, just in thought of homecoming, our thoughts and prayers go out to those affected over the weekend with some of the different high school homecomings that went awry, especially that one a little close to home for us over at Heidelberg. Just an unfortunate situation up there. Our hearts and prayers go out to all those affected there. Hoping while we're down here in Hattiesburg, we're going to have a very fun-filled William Carey homecoming week, as there are all kinds of events about to go on. No high school football game hosted on campus. We do have a couple soccer matches. Doubleheader Thursday, doubleheader Saturday. Got a baseball scrimmage coming up on Saturday as well. Keep in tune to the social media platforms for details on that. Could be a noon to 1 o'clock start. Still kind of fishing around for what time works best with all that. But the man who's got a bunch of the answers about what you can look forward to when it comes to homecoming is Director of External Relations, Dr. Mark Yeager. Thank you so much for joining us. Kind of on short notice, by the way. Thank you for being here.
That's okay. Like I told you, I just live down the road, so I'm always glad to come in.
Same here. They just called me up at 6:30 and said, hey, can you do a podcast? No. But it's good to have you on, and I got to see you earlier because we had the homecoming parade over there on campus earlier. I saw you from afar and waved, but a lot of fun. You had the band marching down the main streets of campus, and it's so much fun now that Carey has a true fight song that you can hear them coming up the walk, and you actually hear that echoing amongst the buildings. You're like, I know that song. I about know the lyrics to it at this point. But and also, Josh, between times they were singing the fight song with the drum cadence, they would chant armor up, armor up. And so they fully adopted the moniker too, and that kind of made for a fun atmosphere there.
Oh yeah, I missed it. It's been crazy at work this week, but no, it all gets here so quick, and I'm ready to be able to be around the band a little bit more in basketball, and then hopefully very soon get to have them out for some volleyball, and maybe somehow get at least the drum line out for some soccer, things like that. I'm hoping as the years go here soon to be a champion of being able to have the band more and more involved. I know they're so busy; they got a lot on their plate already. But they make every event even better, that's for sure.
Yeah. So, Dr. Yeager, to kind of bring this into the full view, or do you want to comment on that first?
No, I was just going to agree. I there's nothing that just exhilarates an audience, and when you get in that gymnasium during basketball season, it just lights things up, man. And I know they're looking forward to being part of all that.
Yeah. And, already a great kickstart to the week of homecoming. There's a lot to do around campus this week. I think one of the biggest things that people have highlighted on their calendar is going to be on Friday with Cary Carnival. Mm-hmm. Going to be the second annual one, now that I think about it. We've done this a couple times now. And now it's tied to the homecoming festivities. But now walk us through a little bit about what we can expect, and we can kind of, you know, put a microscope or a magnifying glass on Cary Carnival and how fun that is.
Well, you know, you mentioned the parade today, and of course, that's our first annual. We hope that we'll have, and we'll build over the years. But for those that missed it, doesn't that William Cary fire truck at the tail end, doesn't it look awesome?
Dr. Burnett and Miss Denise just riding it and throwing their candy just as the tail end of it. It was a great way to bookend a fun event like that.
Absolutely. We're real proud of that truck, and we're proud of the firemen that use it to fight fires and take care of our community. We certainly are. You know, tomorrow, of course, is number two, even though I feel like it's third day of this is pretty exhausting. But the theme for homecoming this year is through the decades. So today was our 50s day, and they had things on campus that sort of highlighted the 50s. Tomorrow's the 60s. We move into that. So there'll be activities for students that will revolve around some tie-dyed shirts and all those things that made the 60s exciting. I don't know if any of you were remember any of that, but I've
seen the movies.
There for it. Yeah, there you go. So, and then of course, tomorrow would be capped off with Cary Corral will be performing around the same time that the volleyball game will be at 6 o'clock, I think. Isn't that right?
Somewhere in that.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah. So tomorrow's kind of we have some competing types of events going on, but that's okay. There'll be plenty of people to come around and
we call
and
those participate. Options.
That's options. That's right. That's right. And we're proud of both of those groups, and both of those groups have wonderful followings, and we're looking forward to having people on campus for that. Wednesdays, of course, we move on to the 70s. That's kind of the groovy years, and we will have a. Some things going on with the homecoming court. We're doing things a little different this year. We know who our homecoming court, the whole group of them that represent us this year, is at the front of the week. We won't know who the queen is until Saturday, but we do know who all is in the running for it. And then the students will have some activities that they'll be invited to, like skating and other things like that. Now, it starts really kind of ramping up on Thursday because we're building toward that Friday that you mentioned a while ago for our community night for our Cary Carnival. But on Thursday, we'll have the soccer game, and we hope to get everybody out there.
Oh, please.
Cheering the girls and the guys on. And we know that that's important not only for our university to get behind those teams, but it's important for our athletes that are doing such a great job at being ambassadors for our university as they move around and playing with all the places that they play. They get a lot of mileage, and we need to be supporting and out there cheering them on.
Yeah, I hope to have the rally crew out there really getting everybody jazzed up because, yeah, Grant, we had a pretty good crowd on Saturday when Mobile was in town. Mm-hmm. Some of those were Mobile supporters that had come up the way. Yeah. Not expecting the same type of visiting crowd from Life because Marietta's just so far out, but a big opportunity for community members to come out and support students as well, just to make this part of their week as far as the homecoming festivities.
Yeah.
Now, that leads us into one of my favorite parts of this week, and that is Cary Carnival. There were so many fun pieces to this last year, and I didn't get to see it and experience it because I think soccer was going on at the same time.
Right.
But I think we had a mechanical bull last year. Is that making a return this year?
Well, actually, we've doubled up. We're going to have two mechanical bulls.
Come
because
on.
It was such a popular event last year, so we're going to double up this year.
And Dr. Burnett's going to be the first one to try it out, right?
So I'm not going to volunteer him for that, but if he'd like to get on there, we'll cheer him on. But we have a host of other rides that are coming, actually more rides than we had last year. You know, we're in April, actually. You know, this is an interesting thing, and I want everybody to know, this is our first fall homecoming.
That's right.
And so we had one in April, and so now we're having two in 1 year, which is, you know, which is pretty tough to pull off. And so it's been an interesting time. But at the same time, we'll be on a fall rotation from moving forward. So the carnival will be part of that. Now, the Friday night is the community night. And we do require everybody register that's coming from the community to participate in that event. The rides are free, but you have to register to get an armband. They won't be able to get on the rides unless a person has the armband. And they do have to be accompanied by an adult. And that will run until about 8 o'clock, and we'll close the everything down on Friday night after all that. Now, Saturday is more of our campus alumni and student events, and we'll have a whole host of different things that start early in the morning. If so, those of the alumni that are out there listening, we want you to come back and visit whichever school or college you attended, so that you can maybe meet up with some of your other folks that you went to school with. At 10:30, something very important, we'll be dedicating now the finished mural on campus, which is behind the King Center there, right on the wall of TFA, Thomas Fine Arts Building. And that will be, it's pretty amazing. It's the largest one in Hattiesburg at this time. It's four panels. And so we'll have a ceremony and a dedication ceremony at 10:30 for that as well. Our parents of students, of current students, will have an event for them at 11:30. And so we're looking forward to getting to know our new parents, especially those that their young people, their kids have just come and joined us at the Carey family. Carnival rides start at 1 o'clock then and go all the way to 9 o'clock on Saturday night. So if you can't get as much riding in 8 hours as you possibly can stand, I don't know what we can do more.
I agree. Eight hours of
riding a bull is about as much as you can stand. But we'll have all other kinds of things: face painting, balloons, a photo booth, a petting zoo. There will be food trucks on campus as well. So it's just a lot of music. Different groups will be playing about every 30 minutes on the Shield stage. There will always be more than one thing going on and plenty of things to participate in, jumping houses. And we have a maker's market where some of our alumni that have their own crafts that they make will also be there. We have about 20 that will be coming to do that.
The fun is just beginning.
It is just beginning. It sure is.
So if you are interested and want to be a part of Carey Carnival, you can find information about how to pre-register at wmcarey.edu. You can find it in the events page and right there at the bottom of the second Carey Carnival page, if you will. You'll see all the information at the bottom. It'll say pre-register for a wristband. You can get plugged in that way. Parking's going to be available at all the ball fields on the edge of campus, with softball, right, baseball, or soccer fields as well.
And rides from the parking lot will be provided.
There you go. So that is all the need to know about William Carey Homecoming Week. We'll talk a little bit more as we continue on to Crusader Talk. But Dr. Yeager, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
All right. More to come. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
I don't know about you, Josh. I'm kind of hyped up for the upcoming week.
Man, I just wish I wasn't working so much.
I know. I kind of hate that I'm doing a game on Friday. I wish this week was the bye week.
This is the week we've got to sup ourselves out, is what you're saying.
That's right. Brett, you're on your own. Figure it out. Northeast and East Central. Yeah, that's all. That would be Northeast Jones, by the way. I just realized that those are also
eventually,
two names of
eventually
community
colleges. I'm going to make a car. Did you see all the great drone footage from the carnival from last year on social media?
Oh, it was spectacular.
It really, really was well done.
For a first Carey Carnival, it really was impressive. And they got the word out pretty well, too, because it had a pretty good showing. Even my wife and son went out there to hang out for a little while, and I would bet they're probably going to go again. Clayton's already said that he's planning on going. So if you want to meet celebrity Clayton Rush, go out to Carey Carnival. He'll probably be there with Brooke and Abby and the whole fam. But
I need to get Stacy and Mike out there. That's just a fun night.
It's fun.
I'll be in Brandon with
some good food out there.
Pedal
too.
At Brandon. But that would be, I mean, because, hello, it's homecoming, and my wife's an alum. she needs to be at her homecoming.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure, and I'm going to have to go back and kind of think back on the timeline, but I'm pretty sure this carnival that happened last year was not in conjunction with homecoming. This was a fall thing last year that was just, not to say it was a one-off, but was just part of a week. And I, again, I'm pretty sure that I was over at soccer when it happened, because Alex Davis was going over there, hanging out at the carnival, and then came right back and played with us.
How was I at soccer, too? Because it was like they were running and getting food and bringing it back.
Yeah.
Was Clayton out or something?
This was the week that we did. It was the Monday of the remote podcast. That's what we did. That was the match when Abraham Baldwin was playing Cary.
But I just remember the student body going crazy over the carnival food.
Yes.
And it was like, hey, what do you want? What do you want? They've got this. They've got this. They've got this. I'll go get it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was so good.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Alex rode the bull once, maybe twice.
Who doesn't love carnival food? Because this is state fair season, carnival season.
Yes. Is it,
you know,
as Commissioner Gibson says, we'll see you at the fire. You know, it's
gonna
that season.
We're going to fry everything.
What is your favorite carnival fair food that's deep fried? Like the things you can't get anywhere else.
It's not going to be anything deep fried. It is just simply going to be that ribeye steak sandwich at the South Mississippi State Fair.
That's a good
one. Over in Jones County. Really, really good.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that there's a stand that does it over at the fair going on in Jackson right now, and that ribeye sandwich is pretty good too. So any kind of fair ribeye sandwich is going to be probably a pretty good one.
But I would have to say getting the legit fresh big corn dog.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
There have been some lately that do the onion blossoms,
mm-hmm.
kind of like an Outback, but fair food style. Hard to beat that.
A little greasier.
Yeah, just a little bit. made with more love. That's what we like to say.
All right, get in there. What's yours?
Probably deep fried Oreo.
That's a classic. Fairs are the only place that I typically see those. Now, I will tell you, if you listen to my other little podcast that I'm a part of with the State Championships Radio Network guys, there are some high schools that have some terrific concessions options. And one of those, Ethel, over in Itala County, they do deep fried Oreos and deep fried honey buns.
Ooh.
Deep fried honey buns.
I feel like that's almost just too much.
We got to teach Landon how to operate a fryer over in that concession
store. I'm intrigued now.
Yeah. So maybe just maybe, since this is going in the fall now, this is going to be a thing from here on out, we need to get the concession stand crew on board with the carnival theme. We got to extend it past the road right there. Extend it past William Carey Parkway. I think that's the road that is right there. And bring it over to the concession stand for folks that want to enjoy a little bit of the soccer match and, didn't get to go to Carey Carnival on, either the night after or the night before, depending on if you're on Thursday's matchups or Saturday. So maybe we can get the deep fried Oreos or, maybe a hand dipped corn dog or something over there at that concession stand. Maybe a winner in my book.
I'm just thinking about what some of the Georgia schools that are newer to the league, that are smaller schools,
mm-hmm.
they're going to be coming into Hattiesburg on homecoming weekend with a carnival in town, with the food trucks, the rides, just people everywhere. What that atmosphere is going to be like. This has a chance to be an extremely memorable weekend to anybody that participates, whether player, coach, fan, alum, you name it, because it's those type moments that you remember as a kid. And that's why you go back to fill-in-the-blank university or whatever your favorite team was or whatever. You want to go back and relive those experiences throughout your teenage years and your adult years. And then when you have kids, these are going to be memories that are being made now that are going to really plant some seeds moving forward into the years and decades to come.
Well, we've been talking about strategy for William Carey and longevity of having fans that want to come back and support the program long after they've graduated. That's been one of the key things that we've mentioned is that you have to build up the memory base.
Core memories.
The core memories, yeah. Like if you're in Inside Out watching that movie. Yeah. Just the core memories of seeing, either a big game and a great result, the buzzer beater, the packed crowd, the band playing this song and the way you reacted, or, the event of Carey Carnival or some other things that may be going on. Maybe it was the parade and seeing Dr. Burnett on the fire truck, you know, passing by with Tootsie Rolls thrown. It's things like that that make you look back at your college experience and go, man, I want to bring back my family so they could be part of something like this.
Can I be sappy for 5 seconds?
Sure.
Somebody's going to meet their spouse this weekend.
Good.
And they will meet at the Cary Carnival, and then they're going to get married and have kids and come back to the Cary Carnival one day. That's not a far stretch. I literally met my wife at a July 4th celebration event.
The Tunnel of Love.
And that was in 2004. 2004 is 21 years ago.
They don't still do those, by the way. The Tunnel of Love.
I don't think so.
Little swan ride type thing that always gets romanticized. And
but look, I'm serious. Shows. It's going to happen.
Yeah, very the possibly
odds are, the odds are in our favor that I've said it's going to happen. You're only talking about two people.
That's right. Now, not only do you have the carnival, which we focused a lot on, and man, I'm looking forward to the possibility of hearing about some of the different foods they had there, but there's something for everybody. If you're not the foodie, if you're not the one that's going to ride the carnival rides, you also have an opportunity to really get involved in the sporting events, not just with the actual events of soccer matches going on this week on campus, but also the Sports Hall of Fame banquet. I believe tickets may still be available. If not, they may be closing out soon. So get online and register if you haven't already. And I may be already late telling you this, but you have an opportunity to really experience a surrounding of great Cary athletes from years past, including some of the coaches that have been honored over the years. It's a pretty daunting environment to look around and see all these red blazers from past Hall of Famers for William Cary Athletics.
Great way to guarantee your seats where they will squeeze you in is just join at the appropriate level to the Crusader Club.
There you go.
And Ben will get you in.
That's a nice plug.
Yeah. And so, Ben, I've told you this. You've got my permission. You can re-gift mine. Re-gift mine. I'm not going to be able to make it.
That's true, yeah. Because you,
I'm working for you.
Yeah, I've put you through the ringer of having to go call a really good soccer match that night.
You're twisting my arm.
Well,
stop it.
And I'm saying this, and I hope, because this is kind of a trend now, but last year it rained throughout the baseball game that was going on whenever we had the Hall of Fame banquet in the spring. And I'm pretty sure the year before that, also had some delay of some sort. That was before the year before you filled in for me. I think Kevin filled in on that game against Blue Mountain Christian. But I think we had lightning delays that day too. That or just the doubleheader went really, really long. So it may be that curse of the Sports Hall of Fame banquet that we could have rain. And it's kind of in the forecast. We're just hoping that we hit that window perfectly to get those two matches in without issue.
Yeah, no, I hope so. And again, I'm really looking forward to seeing the footage from, you know, Thursday. Like Thursday, Friday, the entire week. If you can get it, if you can just have no more than a short 1 to 2 hour rain delay, weather delay in terms of the whole week festivities, you'd have to count that as a win.
Yeah. Now, speaking of that Hall of Fame banquet, you know, Ben came on the show, Ben Smith, that is, not Ben Burnett, came on and told us a little bit about some of the different people that are going to be honored, including Deron Bell, one of the standout basketball players from 2012 to 2014, right before I got over here, as part of that first team all-conference in the SSAC. Also was an honorable mention on the NAIA team that senior year. But also, too, you had you have Lewis Trude, who is great soccer player for Cary back in the early 2010s. Eric Adkins, baseball player for William Cary back from 03 to 04. Craig Fletcher, who we all know. These are getting to the names that are more household for us all. Craig Fletcher, who hopefully his face and eye are healing up pretty well. I asked Coach English about how's he doing after taking that softball to the face. He said, well, his eye is swollen pretty well shut, but his vision's fine. I was like, How can you tell if it's swollen shut? But it nevertheless, said it just clocked him pretty good. And turns out, by the way, and we'll get back to the rest of the crew, he didn't take a line drive direct from bat to eye. There was a former net they had used in the cage that they had laid down, and the ball, I guess, just went straight down onto the frame, ricocheted up, and hit him in the eye socket.
Yep, pinballed it.
Yeah. So hardly anything you could do to react to something like that. Whenever you see it go down, you think, okay, it's going to deaden and roll away. And it just was the perfect ball that came and clocked him.
It really didn't take much of the steam off of it either.
No.
So unfortunately, I was hoping that it would have hit something softer to take a little bit of that off, but that wasn't the case. But no, he's very fortunate, and it'll be good for him. He'll have quite the story to share at the Hall of Fame banquet.
And it'll be great to look back at the photo album years later and say, oh, and Craig Fletcher was man, he looks different here. And then rounding it out, DJ Pulley, who we all know and love, is going to be back in Hattiesburg, former athletics director as well as golf coach and former player for William Carey as well. So that is the arrangement of inductees into the Sports Hall of Fame at William Carey here as part of Homecoming Week in 2025. So we now shift it over to the fall side of the athletics calendar. So when we come back, we've got one final segment with you, breakdown of the week, and slight recap of volleyball. We got a little bit of one under our belts, but we'll get the full recap with Josh when we come back. Homecoming week at William Carey. Gotta love it. Stay tuned. More Crusader Talk coming your way next.
You're tuned in to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Final segment with you on Crusader Talk. Glad you're with us. If you missed us earlier, got a couple conversations with different Carey representatives. Clayton Rush, our color analyst of William Carey Soccer, and then Dr. Mark Yeager, Director of External Relations for the University, talking about all the different events you can be a part of with William Carey's Homecoming Week this week. If you didn't already, you missed the Homecoming Parade. Wish you could have been there. If you were there, it was good to see. I actually ran into Coach Ryan McKenzie out there. He and all of his track and field athletes and cross-country athletes, too, were out there enjoying some of that. And some of the folks from athletics were in the parade. Burt, Coach Gehriga, some of the players from those two teams as well were walking, tossing out candy to folks. It was a really good time. So if that's a sign of things to come, I'm looking forward to the rest of the week at William Carey.
No, I think that's great. And just building traditions. I think this is going to be another step, biggest jump year one to year two, so to speak, kind of thing, with so many things that were implemented a year ago to this being the kind of the second annual with the carnival and so forth. I think this will be a huge, huge leap forward.
So looking ahead at the week, obviously we've been talking about this ad nauseum, but this is what's at stake with the week in soccer. For men's soccer, right now, atop the SSAC standings, you have Life. And this is a point system. You get, you know, so many points for a win, so many points for a draw, and I believe no points for a loss. So Carey sits currently with 15 points. They're 5-0 in the SSAC. Life has one more game under their belt. They are 6-0, and so therefore it's 18 points for Life versus 15 for Carey. But basically, winner is in the driver's seat.
Yeah, 3 points for a win, 1 point for a draw, and then 0 for a loss.
That's it.
So that's why you have a Dalton situation where not only have they missed out on 3 points, they've also in total missed out on 7 points with the two draws.
Mm-hmm.
So they're 7 points short right now. So that's huge.
Yeah, and on the opposite side for women's soccer, similar situation when it comes to the standings. Life with 21, Carey with 18. Life is 7-0, William Carey 6-0. Life currently undefeated on the season. They're without any draws. They're all wins, no losses. They outscored Abraham Baldwin 22-0, a match in which Carey beat the Mustangs. I think they're the Mustangs. All of a sudden, it's gone blank for me. But Carey beat them 25-0. But they got more points against Blue Mountain, scored 19-0 instead of Carey's 17-0. Can't really judge programs based off those wins. But took down Bruton Parker 5-0. They beat Thomas 4-1. Heck, they beat Cumberland, Tennessee. Not to be confused with the Cumberlands, who Carey played the national championship against a couple years back. But beat Cumberland, the number 12 team in the country at the time, 3-1. And then also took down Tennessee Southern 3-1. Now, Kerry beat Tennessee Southern 8-1 earlier this year. Maybe a slightly different type of match and one where UT Southern packed it in, but throw it all out the window because these two are going to show you their best. Kerry's going to do their best to try to possess as long as they can and continue to take shots, which is what their MO was against Mobile last week. So may see a similar matchup with Life, just a question of can Kerry get those goals to count and can they play soundly defensively and prevent Life from getting those goals.
Do you feel confident in Kerry's ability on the women's side to continue to be able to keep scoring into the postseason? You know, it seemed like that it's almost like the faucet is turning off the deeper that Kerry has gone on the women's side towards the championship match in recent years. Do you have reason to believe that that's going to be steady in terms of that offensive output?
You know, I feel like we saw just a slight downward tick over this weekend with Mobile. And granted, you didn't have the Thursday match to try to kind of lead you into the weekend. So sometimes you stay sharper when you have consecutive games or, you know, not very much of a gap between matches. But I did think they played soundly. You know, when it came down to time of possession, the amount of times the ball was on Kerry's attacking half of the field was about 90-10, maybe 85-15. I'm talking about percentages of the time. So Kerry hardly ever allowed Mobile an opportunity. I think Mobile got a total of 2, maybe 3 shots off the entire match.
Wow.
I have to go back and look at the box score of it all, but it was something of that sort. It just crazy lopsidedness when it comes to how much Kerry was possessing. Now, granted, I think that was part of Mobile's plan. I think they were planning on Kerry possessing, but also planning on the Crusaders making a mistake and affording a run out and maybe try to score on a counterattack really quickly. They had the speed to do it, but it just didn't happen, or Kerry was quickly able to recover, and it just Kerry was in firm control the whole time, even though it felt close for a while there. Now, men's soccer side, your guess is as good as mine as to how this one's going to end up this weekend. I think this is going to be the toughest test for Life of the year. I think it's going to be Kerry's toughest test of the year. Now, Kerry's got a couple losses already. Those are kind of earlier. So they're playing some of their best soccer right now, especially if they get guys healthy or keep guys healthy moving forward. Because I love the guys that get forward with the ball, as well as the back line. It's midfield play that I think is going to be a difference maker in this one. But we will see. So only volleyball this week is going to be 6 o'clock Tuesday night. Soccer matches Thursday at 5 and 7:30, and Saturday at 1:30 and 4. Life and Dalton State on Thursday and Saturday, respectively. Hope you'll join all of the festivities going on campus this week for homecoming week at William Carey. I know I'm going to try to do my best to be a part of as much as I can. But until next time, for Dalton Stanford, my co-host Josh West, I'm Caleb Hamill. Until next time, saying good night, God bless, and go Saders.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.